And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Tommy Pham, a try. Deep left. His ball is gone.
Fastball, ground ball up the middle and into center field. So here comes Gomes to score the first run of the game.
The throw home is wide. The run scores. Struck him out swinging. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Here comes Trisaddle. Lucic. Trisaddle scores. It's a playoff hat trick for Leon Trisaddle.
What went wrong in the first period for your group tonight?
Everything.
Wall spins. Top of the arc. Drives the basket. Banks and scores. The run continues. It's 24-0.
Back on the wing to Harden. Jab stepping on Simmons. He'll shoot the three. Got it. Net never moved.
And I think our defense, you know, was pretty defective.
I wouldn't believe what I'm seeing, but it's happening on the radio.
Welcome in. Happy Monday to you. I hope everything is going well. A lot of stuff from the weekend. Fox Sports Midwest, Royals Radio Network, WFAN, NBC, CBN, Wizards Radio Network, the Rockets Radio Network, and the Wizards Radio Network. Their play-by-play man makes a triumphant return at the tail end. And he wouldn't believe what he was seeing, except, after all, people, it is radio?
Radio.
Radio.
Yep.
Radio. Welcome in. It is a two-hour sojourn here on radio. And we got a lot going on today. Get your recruiting questions ready, because at 5:08, Alex Schiffer, the Schiff Man from PowerMizzou.com, will join us to talk basketball recruiting. A name dropped over the weekend, and it dropped in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Knox.
Right in Cal's lap.
Yeah. And so that kind of livens up the old Kentucky-Missouri game this coming year.
Blah.
Okay. Your considered opinion?
No, I mean...
Okay.
No, well, I mean, it was...
You're hedging.
No, I'm not hedging. I just was, you know, Kentucky was kind of the... I mean, you'd never really say Kentucky was a dark horse in recruiting a blue chip basketball player, but I think Florida State was probably just getting the lip service from Dad. You wondered where Mizzou placed as kind of the latecomer. But of the other three... I mean, it seemed like a crystal ball at 24/7. It was like 85-90% Duke.
Mm-hmm.
The other 10%, 15% was Unk. So Kentucky kind of out of the blue, out of the big blue nation.
Ooh, out of the blue.
They reel in a Kevin Knox.
Yeah, because otherwise if he'd gone to Unk, he would have been the man from Unk.
That's right.
Yeah. But instead, he's part of Big Blue Nation, BBN.
Yep.
Very well reasoned.
Yeah.
Thoughtful.
Yeah.
Not prone to overreaction fan base.
Sure.
Unless it's a loss.
Sure.
In which case they tend to get a little bit sideways. All right. A lot of stuff going on today. Head coach Aaron Earlywine will join us at about 4:20-ish as we get around to him. They dropped 2 out of 3 to Ole Miss this weekend, but they do pick up the Sunday victory, walk-off extra inning fashion. And Cheyenne Baxter picking up the victory on Sunday over the 21st-ranked Rebels of Ole Miss. Also,
I have them.
No, you don't. Oh, you got them right there.
I got them.
Okay.
I have tickets all week. Beginning today, we'll do a giveaway every hour.
Okay.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
Okay. And it is for the Camping World Truck Series on Friday night at Kansas Speedway. And the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the Go Bowling 400 on Saturday night.
You know when you were a kid and you used to get your Hot Wheels out and you'd lay on the floor and you'd be like, this is like, this is that on... steroids.
Okay.
This is amazing. This is a great chance to go enjoy some really high quality motorsport action.
Yes, and it's a Friday night and a Saturday night. And this is the reason why we're not giving these tickets away on Friday, because if you're winning the truck tickets on Friday, you know what you're going to be?
Late. Unless you drive like you're in the Truck Series.
Which could be problematic as you go through Odessa.
Correct.
Meanwhile, this is what you will need to listen for through today through Thursday. When you hear this, you need to check in.
Okay.
And here it is. And it's not going to be caller number 400 either, by the way.
Right.
So. Ow, that sounded like Talladega over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 18 cars involved. But that is when you hear that, that's your cue to call.
Right.
And we'll bounce it around over the course of the not now.
Yes, not this was just an example.
That was an example. Hi, you're on the closers. Hello. Yeah, see?
Okay. Yeah, not now.
No. This was a test run. This was like hot laps.
Right.
Or, you know, the, you know, time trials or racing, you know, trying to get the pole position.
Right.
This is your practice lap.
This is Wednesday at noon.
Right.
The sirens go off. We know Wednesday at noon, we're okay.
Wait a minute, this is Wednesday?
Well, it's like that.
Oh, okay. But not quite.
Not quite.
Okay. 442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the closers.
Hello?
Okay. The number works.
All right.
Your practice run is going swimmingly.
That's
so far.
Right. Everybody is taking their swings.
Okay. This is practice only. If this was an actual thing, you'd be told to call. But it's not. So don't. It starts to watch. Oh, slip,
check up, check up, check up. Just practice.
Okay. So when you hear that this hour.
Later.
Yes. Not now.
Not now.
Later. We will take caller number, let's see. I'll go with half the Royals wins. 5.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, did I throw that out at you?
Ah, wow. All right, well.
That'll be this hour. Caller number 5, okay?
Okay.
All right. But not now.
Correct.
Later.
Later.
You'll want to listen.
Like the Royals will win later.
Right. Or the candy that you pick up at the movie theater now and later.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mike.
This is what you'll hear now. Later, you'll hear it again, but that will actually be your cue to call and caller number 5 this hour.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
We good?
Yeah.
All right. Questions?
I don't have any questions.
Got answers?
I mean, sure. Okay. 42.
Yeah, I'll take NASCAR for 400, please, Alex.
Okay.
Who won this weekend?
Yes.
Okay. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. You know who gave him a peck on the cheek?
Who?
The one who's featured at the very end of this, wrecking, Danica Patrick.
Uh-huh.
See? It starts to watch. Oh, slip, check up, check up, check up. Ooh.
Screeching tires.
Yeah, they're a thing.
Yeah.
On the NASCAR circuit.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, he avoided the 18-car wreck, 19 laps to go. He claims his first career NASCAR victory. Kentucky Derby, we talked about it in passing on Friday, and I mean really in passing on Friday.
Yeah.
I think we went by the NASCAR thing faster than that happened.
Right.
Always dreaming wins.
Correct.
You know how you knew he won?
How?
He was clean.
He was clean.
Yes. If you were
wire to wire.
Wire to wire. Otherwise, if you weren't in the front, you were covered in mud. The fifth time in a year, fifth straight time, the favorite has actually won the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the closers.
Yeah, I heard the sound.
Okay. Not quite yet. Okay.
You said within an hour.
Any hour. You are correct. I did say but it's not quite time. This is like we're racing for the pole, and you are on the pole right now. So when the green flag drops, we'll see if you hold there. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah.
Zoom, 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 zoom.
The Kentucky Derby thing is still amazing to me, because I never understood how they did with the goggles.
They just keep...
They keep pulling them off. They wear like 15 goggles to start with.
Yeah.
They just keep pulling them off as they get muddy. Whose job is it to go back and pick up the goggles?
How'd you like to be like the last guy in line? And
getting hit by goggles.
He's got goggles stuck all over. He looks like Yadier Molina in a fastball.
Well, who was it? The one horse that just came out all prancy and
wanted to just play with his friends.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Where are all my friends going?
What a race?
What are they going?
They're racing.
Leaving in a hurry.
Hi, KFRU.
play that sound again so we know what to listen for.
Okay, I will. Ready? This one. You got it?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. We're going to get our comeuppance on this, aren't we?
Oh, this isn't going to end well.
Okay, very good.
All right, so here's
it's going to end well for people.
Yes.
Because we're holding these tickets. Yeah, exactly.
By the time this is all done, the plan is you guys go to the race. We have nothing to do this weekend.
That's right.
That's okay. I'm good with not having much to do this weekend.
Because this last weekend was busy.
This last weekend was not only busy, but next weekend will be busy too.
Correct.
So, because I'm taking time off Thursday, Friday next week.
Yeah.
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 So you can drop your gifts or gift cards off at the front desk here at the KFRU studio. But I have a daughter getting married next Saturday, the 20th. So Thursday, Friday, you and Moog will get to play radio.
Yeah.
Maybe by then we'll have the web computer.
Nah, whatever.
Okay. Or maybe not.
We do.
Okay. You never know.
Mo and I can do a little acapella. It'll be great.
Oh, Lordy. Jeez. Well, we'll acapella our way right in on into this one because head coach Aaron Earlywine is going to join us around the other side of this. And also in hour number two, Alex Schiffer from PowerMizzou.com will join. He will answer basketball recruiting questions. Missouri Tigers have one scholarship remaining.
Hmm.
Who getteth?
Yeah.
And who doesn't-eth?
Hmm-eth.
Hmm. Aaron Earlywine joineth next.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Happy Monday to you. And we visit, as we have all softball season, with the head coach of the Missouri Tigers softball team, head coach Aaron Earlywine. Well, we don't have to really talk probably about Friday or Saturday, but how about those seniors coming through on Saturday, coach? You got an interesting start. I'll use the finger quotes on interesting for Cheyenne Baxter. And then your redshirt junior, Anna Reed, comes through huge in the game against Ole Miss on Sunday. That had to at least make you feel good, right?
It did. I was happy for them. And then obviously their individual performances made the day for the entire team. I mean, it had been a while since we had won, or at least it had felt like that. And Anna got the big home run to tie it up in the seventh or eighth. I can't remember. Seventh, I believe. And then Cheyenne pitched however many innings. I know I sound terrible. I don't know these things. But we either played 9 or 10 innings, and Cheyenne threw them all. It all runs together for me at this point. But, yeah, both of those kids had big days, and they couldn't have picked a better day to do it on senior day.
Honest reaction, when Colby Romaine hits that ground ball to third and they commit the error to allow the winning run, did you just kind of put your head in your hand and go, about damn time it happened to somebody else?
Kind of. Well, we have lost a lot of games similar to that. And I told my assistant coaches, 5 seconds after it happened, I said, you know, typically I wouldn't be that excited about a win like that. I said, but we deserve one. You know, we've lost so many games like that ourselves that we deserve one. The wheel finally turned.
Coach, this team goes out there and the seniors go out with their last regular season series. And those girls really, put their hearts and on the line and have for many years, 4 or 5 years, depending. You know, when you had a chance to talk to them before the series, after the series, you know, how'd it go? How did everybody handle it? And how did the coaching staff, you know, how do you kind of wrap that up after so much time?
They did great. There wasn't a ton of highs or lows. And really that's the message is, you know, on senior day, it can become this memorabilia day and time for reflection, which causes all kinds of emotions. But they did a good job, really, of keeping those things at bay, realizing we still had a game to play. We still have the SEC tournament coming up. And then, most importantly, the postseason starts in 2 weeks. So while it's a time to reflect, it's also a time to stay in the saddle and know you got a couple weeks of softball left.
Paige Bangy, at the hot corner, she had a really good day. Have you found your third baseman, at least for her senior year?
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm still looking. It's still musical chairs. She did a good job. You know, she hasn't played there very much this year. And she came in and did a good job, fielded most of the balls hit to her, and one throw got away from her, but other than that, she did a decent job. I love that kid, by the way. She's one of the best human beings I've ever coached. I have a lot of respect for her as a person. She's a really neat kid.
Head coach Aaron Earlywine with us here on the Closers. And I mentioned when I started off the finger quotes about an interesting start for Cheyenne Baxter, in and out of trouble all game long. Is one of the things with Shy and maybe just your staff in general that they don't have that knockout pitch. So if you can work the count, you basically see everything, and that poses a problem second, third time through a lineup.
No question. And even really before that, it's her command that gets her in trouble. I mean, she has good enough jump on her rise ball to get some swing and misses, but she sometimes locates it so far out of the zone that good hitters don't even flinch. And so most of it is location-related. When she locates the ball, her strikeouts go up. And it's not necessarily because that it was inside or outside. It was because it was high or low. If she throws her rise at the right height and her drop at the right height, both of them have really good tilt to them. So it's really more about her location, and it's amazing to me how much trouble she can get into and then how she finds a way to work herself out of it. I think she walked the leadoff batter for three or four innings yesterday and found ways to work out of those jams. So, you know, ultimately we've kind of stepped back as a staff and said, okay, yeah, we want more from her, but this is kind of who she is. And instead of beating ourselves up all the time about it and continuing to harp upon it with her, we've almost come to the point where we just accept that's just part of what you get.
Coach, this team moves into postseason play for the SEC tournament. And, you know, as it goes in and other teams around the conference are going to kind of take a moment, everybody's going to re-scout who they're going to play in the tournament and look at it. Is there a sleeping giant element to this team this year? I mean, is it there that you think that other teams have to look at Mizzou softball and take it seriously in the SEC tournament and beyond?
Well, it's a yes and no question. The way we've played the last three games, four games, no. You know, we just haven't shown that we can go into a regional or super regional and be competitive. Have there been spots throughout the year where after the game, the coaching staff gets together and we look at each other and say, man, if we play like that, we got a real chance. But right now, I don't know who's going to show up, guys. I really don't. And I hope that they're motivated. I hope that the fresh start renews them and rejuvenates their energy and enthusiasm and focus. But I can't say for sure.
Coach, I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago about the everything that swirled around this team last year. Blake Topmeyer's had a piece on it. Dave Mattern and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch have had a piece on it. As you look back over this last year, how detrimental really was what happened to what you're trying to do with this softball program? And do you feel like you're having to kind of pick up the pieces and start from scratch all over again?
No, not really from scratch. Okay. I think one of the most comforting pieces is that we have some tremendous recruiting classes coming in. Our senior class, our junior class, our sophomore class, and our freshman class are all completely done, except for one. We have one spot on our freshman class that we have an offer on the table out there right now, but it hasn't been taken or rejected. But to know that those 4 years of really, really talented softball players are coming in here reassures me that we're going to be right back to where we have always been with this program, which is in the top 10, top 15 teams in the country consistently. Was this year an off year? Yeah. I mean, and could it have partially been a result of some of the things that happened last year? Yes. Not all the way. Mm-hmm. There's things that we could have controlled this year that we could have done better. I'm not blaming this year totally on last year's ordeal, but did it have an effect? Of course it had an effect in several different ways, but we're looking forward to moving past that and having a great future ahead, because we really do. We have some unbelievable talented kids coming in.
Are you a better coach for not just what happened, but also the way this year went and how you've handled it?
Yeah, because I've never lost this much, mm-hmm. and it's made me go to places that I've never had to go before. And so, you know how it is. It's not just in coaching. It's, right. You know, in everyday life. You go through tough stuff, and when you come out of it, You think, man, first of all, I never want to go through that again. But second of all, I'm glad I did because I grew in some way, shape, or form.
Head coach Aaron Earlywine with us here. You're the 11 seed in the SEC tournament coming up. You get the matchup against LSU next week. Close matchup down there, down in Baton Rouge, dropping 2 out of 3, all 3-2, 3-1, 3-1. What's different about LSU now that it's a one and done coming up next week? How do you handle that differently?
I don't know that we do. I mean, you look at their pitching staff, and they have 2 All-American pitchers, and then a third kid who has an ERA that's like 1.5. So, you know, it's not typical where you go in thinking, okay, we're going to get this team's ace, and let's pick her apart and figure out what makes her tick. All 3 or 4 of LSU's pitchers have been effective this year. So it's hard to have an approach or a plan against them. You have to go on the fly and wait 30 minutes before game time for them to declare who they're going to pitch. But in terms of their offense, we know how we're going to pitch those kids and what we would do differently next time there. But our plan's going to be on the fly when we figure out, you know, finally who they're going to throw.
And then finally on Sunday, a couple of times a call either wasn't or was made against you guys about the interference. One was the runner being hit in the back by a throw, and the other one was your first baseman getting run over. Was that a baseline argument? Was really that kind of where you were at, or was it just more of a, Blue, need you to pay attention?
Yeah, it was more of the latter.
Okay.
you know, there was a consensus and an agreement between the umpire and myself that the runner coming back into first base put her arms up and pushed our first baseman. And I said, you know, outside of that, you don't need to know anything. I don't care if she caught it, if it hit her in the back, if it tipped off the first baseman's glove, if she did a backflip, if she moonwalked. None of it matters. What matters is that she pushed the first baseman on the way back, and you can't do that. It's interference. It's pretty clear in the rule book. But, you know, thank God you don't have to look back on that today and go, man, that's what beat us. You know, we won the game, so all is well.
Yep, all is well, and you get a week off now, Burrow. About a week off to before next week start with the SEC tournament. Coach, thank you for the time, sir. I really do appreciate it. Enjoy the off time.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, you are very welcome. Head coach Aaron Earlywine. We'll be right back. More of the closers right after this.
The closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
All right, good work on the practice.
Yep.
Excellent work on the follow-through, folks.
Yes.
For many of you, we'll check back with you in hour number 2, because that'll be when you check back in again. But congratulations to Brian Ninichuk as he wins the first set of tickets, 2 for Friday night, the truck race, and 2 for Saturday for the NASCAR Go Bowling 400. Be your opportunity on Saturday evening to get her done.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's going to be your Marshall.
Ooh. I'm the world's best backwards driver.
Nice job there, Mater.
It's his best role ever.
All right, last night, not last night. It started last night, but...
It happened one night?
It did. This was a tale of two evenings.
Here is Hendricks. He's the third pitcher to pinch hit. And the 1-2. Struck him out swinging. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Okay, besides the fact that that's probably a really tired John Sterling at 1:05 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees beat the Cubs last night, this morning, 5-4.
Okay.
In 18 innings.
Yes.
Let's play 2.
Sure.
Be careful what you ask for.
Okay.
A game that started at 7 o'clock Central Time. Ended 6 hours and 5 minutes later.
Okay.
That's
a long time.
That's 1:05 this morning.
I thought they were working on that slow play thing.
Pace of play, yes. Well, they got 2 games in you know, 2 hours and 55 minutes, 3 hours and 55 minutes each, or 3 hours and 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, a little over 3 hours
apiece. Yeah, that's not terrible. They also, however, set a Major League Baseball record.
Most strikeouts in a game.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. No. People are going to get really irritated when you're doing that. 48 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Last night, including when the extra innings started, 9 straight strikeouts. 48. It broke the record set to July 9th of 1971 between the A's and Angels. That game took 20 innings to complete. They had 43 strikeouts. The Yankees struck out. The Bronx Bombers struck out 22 times. Austin Romine, Chase Headley. It's Headley. Yes. Didi Gregorius and Starling Castro all had offers for the night. Now, you'd think somewhere along the line, you'd just accidentally run into one.
Yeah, the Royals would think that.
Yeah, but okay. Now, here's the fallout from this. 18 innings. Now, the Cardinals played 14 yesterday. So, 32 okay. total innings.
Right.
You had a 6-4 game and a 5-4 game.
Okay.
Both games beneficial, by the way, for Cardinal Nation.
Correct.
Because now the Cardinals are ahead of the Cubs.
Sure.
It may only be briefly, but they're ahead.
But they are ahead.
But the fallout from this is people are going, shouldn't we just call the game after so many innings? 12 innings. Just call the game after 12 innings.
Mm-hmm.
A tie. End it in a tie.
Soccer fans are totally fine with that.
You guys have PKs.
No, not always. Not during the regular season, yeah. You don't.
Okay. This isn't soccer. It's not footy.
No, it's a... never mind. It's the more boring sport.
Listen here, you Royals fan. You.
Yeah?
Mr. I've only scored 80 times this year.
It's like golf. Another boring sport. Let's just talk about all the boring sports all at once. So the Royals, much like golf, are going for low under, right? Low round.
Yeah, apparently they think that's... And by the way, Escobar is batting leadoff tonight.
Yes. He's 3 for his last 50.
Yeah. As Ned Yost said, it brings back great memories.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You just keep... Is Ned Yost becoming the new Yogi Berra?
I guess.
Okay. But really, do you call it after 12?
No.
13, 14?
No.
Just play.
You
right?
Just play the game.
Do you do the home run inning?
No.
Play. Just play ball.
Play the game.
Okay.
The whole point is, I mean, why not, you know, let's just save a lot of time. Let's just play 3 innings.
Okay.
Why not? Play 3, and if it's tied, then have a home run inning.
Or we could just do it in stages, like NASCAR.
I mean, it just, you can't. I don't know. It makes no sense. The game is meant to be played. The reason you play a long time, the reason you keep playing is because, yeah, eventually you have to decide. You just leave a pitcher out there, and eventually he gets tired and someone scores the run.
Well, and in the clip that we played from WFAN from last night, this morning, Hendricks was a pitcher.
Right.
He was the third pitcher to go up pinch hit.
Right.
For the Cubs.
Yes.
And he did what all the other previous pinch hitting pitchers did last night for the Cubs.
Right.
He struck out.
Yeah.
This time, though, it ended the game.
Sure.
You can't. You just can't, because you're frustrated and because you're, oh, we got to get this out. It's dragging on and on. Go. 12 innings done. At the end of 12 innings, if it's tied, it's tied. We'll just put it. You got wins, losses, and ties now.
Yeah. Well, at that point, you're scoring points on the standings.
So do you just assign now, instead of wins and losses, it's now points.
Right.
Just like the NHL does.
Sure. And soccer.
Back around to that again, aren't we?
That's what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking baseball.
But the things they are talking about.
Baseball, Ray.
Baseball, Ray. No, I mean, yeah, but that's the gist of the argument that you're coming around to, is that idea.
Then go to PKs after the end of 12.
So the home run derby?
Yes.
I mean, sure.
Why not?
It's horrible.
It's a solution. It's better than going at that end of the tie. Sorry.
As long as it's the next two people up to bat, then that's fine.
No, you could designate.
Nope.
No, yeah. Here's Send 3 guys. Send 3 guys up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. All right. That was good radio right there, and I'm glad everyone could hear that.
Send 3 guys up to the plate. Send four guys, send three guys up to the plate, okay? That way you get your three outs or you get your home runs, right? The other team that comes up now can elect, if this is the direction we're going to go, you're that first hitter up. Do you try for the home run? Or do you put a runner on and go the two-run shot for the win?
No.
Be done with it.
No.
I mean, let's just completely screw with the rules.
What if it's a tie after the home run inning?
Then it's a quarter. Then it's a quarter. Suppose any of those guys are carrying around quarters?
No.
I know Headley's probably carrying around a, you know what, load of dimes.
Right. Yep.
I just, the whole day today was just bouncing around and bouncing around. Everybody was like,
you know, maybe we need to rethink Major League Baseball's extra innings and just go to 12 innings and call the game as a tie and dispense with these 18-inning affairs.
Why?
How long does cricket take to play? 3 days?
Not anymore.
Okay. They have a faster version?
Yes.
Much like Speed Monopoly?
Sort of.
Okay.
Only takes about 4.5 hours, 5 hours to play a game.
Okay, that's right along with college football.
Sure.
That's not bad, actually.
Yeah.
For something that used to take 3 days.
Correct. To get from 3 days to 5 hours, that's pretty solid.
Now that is pace of play.
That's good editing.
That is very good pace of play. Be right back. More of the closers right after this.
It's the closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Too much to ask. A little elevation.
All right, welcome back. As we get closer to the end of hour number one, hour number two, I get your recruiting questions ready. Alex Schiffer from PowerMizzou.com, the Schiff Man, will join us. We'll talk about the recruiting class for Missouri, and then also, what do you do with that extra scholarship? I mean, not that it's extra, but it's currently laying unclaimed.
I don't think it'll be unclaimed for long.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
Tillman? Either Tillman or Jonte.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And both is still on the table.
Yes. Stuff that happened over the weekend. It was an incredibly busy weekend, but yes. Congratulations to Columbia College as they wrapped up not only an AMC softball regular season title, but also the postseason AMC tournament title as they picked up the 6-0 win Friday night over Williams Baptist, Paxton Welsh, the victory. And the third-ranked Cougars finished the regular season and the tournament run at 43-5. The Cougars will host the opening round of the NAIA National Tournament next week over at Antimi Softball Complex, and that will be the May 15th through the 17th, and the announcement will come out on Wednesday, the pairings.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, as it happened during our show here on Friday, their season came to an end, 7-3 lost. And while they lose to Central Baptist, and I was looking at the rankings, and they're 31st, if you extend out to receiving votes. Well, it's a 45-team field.
Okay.
So, you kind of like their chances of getting in, unless the committee looks at the AMC tournament and goes, man, did they flame out.
The trend in the NCAA, especially in basketball,
mm-hmm.
And I believe even Coach Earlywine, you know, said a couple weeks ago that the SEC tournament didn't seem to factor in so much to what the NCAA did for them. I think the prevailing trend now is that conference tournaments are for upstart low level teams to state their best case, and it doesn't necessarily hurt a team that's in an okay solid position. That losses there don't necessarily undermine what you've done for an entire season portfolio.
And that's going to be important for Columbia College, because while they finished in second, tied for first in the conference behind 10th-ranked Missouri Baptist, they did, because of the tiebreak, finish in second spot. You got to look at that and go, all right, your case was stated over a much larger body of work, not only in conference but also out of conference. And you could also make the argument as well, Jay, that, hey, you know, listen, weather on Thursday kind of screwed us up a little bit. We were set to go. We had our, we got drilled 16-13. They lose on a field goal at the end of the game on Wednesday night. You were ready to go on Thursday. The game gets started, and then it's canceled.
Right.
And moved to Friday. Well, instead of throwing your Thursday guy at full strength, you're throwing him now kind of trying to nurse him through part of the game on Friday. So hopefully Columbia College, we'll be talking about postseason play for the baseball team. First, listen, they're back after 35 years.
It's the first season.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'd love for Darren to win the whole thing.
Right.
But then what do you do?
Right.
Well, I mean, what's your encore?
Right.
Right?
What are you doing after that?
Yeah. You set the bar way up here. And now you got to come back for year number two.
Yep.
I mean, what's your encore there, Pavarotti?
Illinois State.
Oh, okay. You grab me two more tenors and we'll do some singing. Yeah, it just... I love what they've done over there, too. And we talked to Bob Burchard here about, three weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
about the whole strategy. And from the standpoint of an athletic director, he said it takes incredible patience to do all the hire, staff, coach, assistant coaches,
recruiting budget, the
recruiting budget, allow the recruiting, allow the guys to get on campus.
But not have a program for an entire calendar year. Yeah.
It's an incredible amount of patience in order to be able to do that. So for them to handle that and then take care of business the way that they have so far this year, congratulations to Coach Munns and company. And, you know, now they get to do it with, you know, lacrosse and some of the other sports that they've got rolling over as well. So good luck to both Columbia College softball and baseball this week as they find out opponent and destination for baseball and opponent for softball, because they are going to be hosting the opening rounds over at Antibia Softball Complex. Hour number two, right around the corner, Alex Schiffer from PowerMizzou.com will join us.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.